16 after 8 on 3AW. Philip Brady is here hosting Nightline as per normal. Simon Owens is my name, sitting in the chair whilst Marty Fields is not filling in for Bruce Mansfield. And it's a great pleasure, and actually I'm quite honoured to be sitting in the company in the presence of Tony Martin.
Yes, it's good to be here. I hope everything's all right, because as soon as I walked into this room, the first thing Philip said is, I'm streaming. I'm streaming everywhere.
Yes, that's why we sit on opposite sides of the desk. And wherever possible, I sit out there in the control room.
There's a remote.
Have you met Tony before this?
Only when he's come in previously, but his focus then has always been on yourself and Bruce, so I sort of got shoved aside.
Well, you know, some of my favourite moments on TV were those times when we worked together.
We had you doing archery, didn't we? Weren't you firing the Olympic flame? Remember how that guy did with that?
Absolutely.
Set fire to someone's backyard, didn't you?
And wasn't that a clever sequence? I wasn't involved with it, but you did it down at the Shrine, sending up that song, Friends Forever, the Olympic Games anthem.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't there that day.
That was a marvellous moment.
But hang on, what else did you... were suspended from the ceiling. I remember that for some time.
Yes, and you had me jumping on a double bed for some reason too, jumping up and down. I think that's on the best of the
pants
again.
Off or pants on? I can't remember.
Pants on, and then I often did the Muckrakers bus tours.
Oh, yes, I was going to say, the personal highlight of mine of Philip's appearances on the D-Gen on the Late Show was probably the Muckrakers segment where he's smoking a joint with Granny Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? That's funny, because then we had Pete Smith in the Mick Molloy Show. He was pulling a bong in the car park.
It's fantastic.
Channel 9. And he didn't seem to require any instruction, which surprised me.
No, he knew what to do.
In fact, it wasn't even in the sketch, is my understanding. Just that happened.
Well, I mean... Hey, is enjoying a resurgence. Why not the DJ? Why not the Late Show?
Well, the thing is, the idea would be to wait till about 12 years too late, when everyone's just a bit too fat, when you can't quite tell who anyone is anymore, and everybody hates each other, and then have a really ill-advised special. That could be quite funny, I think.
How's your relationship with Mick Molloy these days?
Well, we're seeing other people these days.
Have you got middlemen passing on messages to each of you?
Well, what I've been saying is that I'm hoping it'll all be sort of canvassed in a really tawdry telly movie. with myself played by James Valentine and Mick played by Richard Clapton. That's what we're hoping for. Sort of like The King, but uglier, with more scenes in radio studios.
You're here tonight as an author, of course, in your own right. This is your second book of late, isn't it?
Yeah, there's another one. I don't know how that happened.
And just before we do get onto the book, though, this place itself would bring back fond memories for you.
Because I think Phil is sick of me saying this. Every time I come in here, you're sitting in what was our office.
Yes, exactly.
This was the production booth for Eon FM. And there was no office for us, so we had to sit in here writing terrible sketches for about 3.5 years. And then when Captain Carl Van Est had to come in and do a live cross, we had to clear out into the corridor.
Isn't that amazing? Well, now, this is like Tony Martin, This Is Your Life. I don't have Mick Molloy on the phone, but I do have a special surprise guest to say hello to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Is
what
that...
if I say... Century.
There he is. He's come inside from the car park.
Trust me to horn in on your interview, Tony. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Oh, listen, I've got to tell you, Phil, I'm very privileged, because I think I must have one of the first copies of the book. And, you know, I'm sitting up in bed reading, and Jackie's saying, why you got that smile on your face? Why have I got it on my face? Because the book is just a joy to read. And you know something, Tony? I'm halfway through now. I'm a slow reader, but I'm halfway through. But I want to go back and read Lolly Scramble.
Well, there you go. I think you did get one of the first copies, but your one is in pencil, I think you'll find. Much of the... And there's probably more swearing in that draft.
There's a few words in there that I had to ask Jackie what they meant, but by and large, it's just a wonderful read, and you really do have a smile on your face, and maybe a silly look on your face, because it's just a joy.
We haven't even mentioned the title of the book yet, but you're in the lemon tree as we speak, aren't you?
Yes, well, why don't you mention the title? It's a nest of occasional.
Well, we plan to later.
Are you producing this show, Pete? Do you call in every night?
No, I certainly do not. He wanted to do this as a surprise for you, Tony. But it's no surprise, because, I mean, I look out my bedroom window and I can see Tony's kitchen.
Is that true?
I'm the neighbour of Pete Smith's.
And, of course, Pete did some wonderful radio for you boys too, didn't he?
Pete, was there anything we never got you to do?
Uh, I don't think so, actually. No, it was a real sharp learning curve for me being with you.
I liked it when we got you to record the entirety of Jim Morrison's album, An American Prayer.
Oh, yes, yes. I can vaguely recall that. But one of my favourites was when Madame Tussauds Wax Museum visited Melbourne. Remember that?
We got you to go and stand and pretend to be your own wax dummy, which you did for,
right.
for several hours before bursting to life with a sale of the century. I think it was nearly a lawsuit over someone having a heart attack, wasn't it?
Yes, a couple of old girls fell back into their wheelchairs.
Uh-huh. And also, let's not forget you starring in the movies that both Mick and Tony have produced.
Well, you see, they're great mates. They look after... Fancy ringing up an old bloke and saying, will you be in my movie?
I don't think anyone else could have done Man in Street better than you did in Crackerjack Pete.
Oh, it's very kind of you, but my crowning glory was Bad Eggs.
No, it was very... I was surprised that didn't leave. But hang on a second, because we've talked about this on another radio program. You claim that you haven't done any movies since Bad Eggs, but I'm absolutely certain that you're in Kenny.
Well, I can't remember doing anything. I honestly mean that. I can remember doing The Thing for Sean McAuliffe. What was that again? What's the name of that show?
The Honourable Wally Norman. You were.
Oh, that's right.
You don't seem to remember any of the movies that you've been in, aside from Bad Eggs and Crackerjack. You're in Kenny. You're a radio announcer.
Well, I don't know. You might be getting me mixed up with somebody else.
John Deeks. Should I point out, perhaps, I don't think we've actually mentioned yet, this is Pete Smith.
We recognise your voice. And we have Tony Martin in the studio. Please mention the name of your book. No interview has ever gone for 10 minutes without the title being...
I'm holding it up in case you can't remember.
Maybe, Pete, could you say the title of the book in the manner of Sale of the Century?
A Nest of Occasionals.
There you go.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thanks, Pete.
He's still got it.
Now, why are you at the Lemon Tree tonight? Is it a special celebration?
No, well, we were on a cruise, one of our cruises a couple of years ago, and we met a couple that we've become very friendly with, and they come from Griffith in New South Wales, and this guy, his Christian name is Dom, her name is Elizabeth, and they always come down with wine from Griffith, and I'm not sure whether they're doing research down here or not, or whether I'm a target, I'm not quite sure. Having seen Underbelly, you'll understand what I mean.
Oh, yes, Don McKay territory, isn't it?
But they're very nice people.
Well, get back to your guests, and thanks for breaking away.
Now, just before you do leave us, Pete, I have to mention one of my favourite parts of The Late Show was, of course, at the end of the show each week where Tony and Mick would have a slight disagreement because Tony had asked Mick to book an act, and invariably Mick got it wrong. The most successful and well-remembered one would have to be, I think, Joan Kerner appearing instead of Joan Jett. But you made an appearance there as well.
Yes, I did, and at that stage they asked me to do a number by Aerosmith.
Yes.
And I had never heard of the group, and I'd never heard of Dude Looks Like a Lady.
But the thing about that, Pete, is you actually saved that segment. Because we had shot your one first, and it was hilarious. It was done in one take. I don't think there was even a rehearsal. It was just like, just fire up the music, cameras on. And we had that in the can. But then, if you remember the first episode of that second series, we had Sid Halen on. Remember?
Instead of Van Halen.
And it was
Cookie from A Country Practice, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it went slightly horribly wrong. It was going to air live.
Yes.
And Sid was having a bit of a turn. It was still a very good version of Panama on the ukulele, I will say that for him. But, like, the producers at the ABC felt that that had gone so badly that we had to axe that idea after one show. And we then we showed them your one that we'd already filmed, and they changed their mind.
Oh, fantastic.
So if we hadn't had you in the can, that segment, that Joan Kerner business, none of that
would have happened.
Would have gone to air. So,
oh,
yeah.
Rex Hunt instead of T-Rex.
You know something, Tony Martin is the sort of guy you're having in as a guest tonight. But I tell you what, you could have him on every night because there's so many stories to tell. I mean, I lived and breathed the creation of his movie Bad Eggs. I was so privileged right from the very first page you wrote, Tony, and I was taken right through the whole movie-making process like you wouldn't believe. And, I mean, if you've ever seen Bad Eggs, you can get it on video now. it's amazing because it starts off with a sequence where a car goes crazy down through streets and in through a shopping centre without touching anything. But the reason for that, Tony, I don't know whether you can explain to them, but, I mean, you were going to have massive explosions and smashes and everything, weren't you?
Well, we couldn't afford to film pretty much anything spectacular for that film, so we thought, well, how can we create some suspense with a runaway car that we can't even afford to even slightly dent on a corner? So we thought, well, the gag will be that it doesn't touch anything, and that ended up working much better.
Yeah, and a sensational gag, and of course it's the opening. Well, I'm saying highlight. There's a lot of highlights, in my opinion, but it's just a sensational opening forced on you, as you say, because of budget constraints. But the effect is so much better than it would have been if it had been a lethal weapon explosion type thing. Yeah. You know.
Well, thanks, Pete. I would have liked to have seen you in a lethal weapon style explosion fest, perhaps leaping through the air in slow motion with a giant Steven Seagal fireball chasing you up the street. Would you be on for something like that if we could?
I'll hang on for your next idea, Tony. You know where to find me. And in the meantime, I mentioned Lolly Scramble. Is that still available, Tony?
It certainly is. It sounds like I've scripted, Pete. Can you mention also the CD? This is great, Pete. It is still available.
And if not, Pete, I can lend you my copy.
Good on you. Well, I tell you thanks. For your listeners, it's a fabulous read and it's a fun read. And he happens to be a dear friend of mine, Tony Martin.
Thank you, Pete. Thanks for saying all those nice things. But as I always say to you, and, you know, Phil has done, I know Phil and Bruce's scrapbook, that is still on my coffee table.
Tales from the Scrapbook, exactly.
There was the second one, I think, was there not?
Yes, there's been about five books now. Someone's produced some since.
Where is the Pete Smith Manifesto?
Yes.
Well, as you said in the Herald Sun on Saturday, not enough people did yet, Tony.
Yeah. That's right. Very good advice.
Hey, Pete, thanks for running away from dinner. And what we're going to do in a moment is take a break and then talk to Tony about his book. That's why he's here.
But fellas. Goodbye now.
Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. It's good that we're all such good pals in this business because I think people imagine we don't talk to each other or socialise or whatever, but you can make some very lasting friendships, can't you?
Well, it's just nice to see Pete's calling up to plug the books. Fantastic. But he's one of the good guys. He's one of the original good guys, literally, was he not?
Okay. Oh, absolutely, on 3AK,
yes.
Way, way back after he left the ABC. Now, the title of the book, my parents and my grandparents used to have occasional tables.
And they would come in a nest.
Exactly.
And how many in the nest do you remember,
Phil? At least four, maybe six.
See, I think we had up to nine. We had a nine-table nest.
And you'd spread them around the room, you'd trip over them all the time, wouldn't you?
You'd have one that was coffee table size and then going right down to one that just held a single Jats cracker with a cube of cheese.
So you actually had them in New Zealand as well?
We certainly did.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And
how progressive of you.
It was only quite recently the nest was introduced. But I figured also, because there's a story about a disastrous radio advertisement that I wrote where I left out the word tables to try and save time.
Oh.
I just had it down to nest of occasionals, and the bloke around the shop was furious, called up and said, "Where's tables?"
Oh.
Some people can't picture them all snugly nested. It just sounds like a nest of nothing. So there was a lot of trouble. And I also felt that the phrase, because I had a family that was constantly changing cast, I figured a nest of occasionals was quite a nice description of the
very
family.
Very appropriate as you relay your occasional anecdotes in the book, which we'll talk about,
yes.
Tony Martin, after we take a break.